Here at the Boehringer Ingelheim Swine Health Seminar, with me is Dr. Scott D., who is with the Swine Disease Eradication Center at the University of Minnesota. And he spoke today about some new information on the transmission and biosecurity related to the PRRS virus. Dr. D., if you could just start by just summarizing some of your main points today.
Well, I think we've got a good optimistic outlook for this disease based on a lot of the tools that have been advanced. I specifically touched on air filtration as a way to prevent new viruses from entering sow farms, to give us non-infected pigs that are so much easier to take care of. But there's other topics today that are going to be very interesting as well. So we've got a new arsenal of tools that we can use against this disease.
Well, and you talked about being optimistic because it's the first time you said that we could impact or prevent the transmission between farms.
Yes, exactly. We've never been able to do that before consistently under our control. It may have happened by accident, but again, then you get breaks and the whole roof falls apart.
Now, we've talked about this before, but I guess from your research, you found that the virus can travel up to 2 miles. Is that right?
Actually, it's up to almost 3 miles, 2.8 miles. PRRS virus, as well as one of its compadres, Mycoplasma hound pneumoniae, where the two together are really tough on pigs' lungs.
Now, how does the air filtration then system work to keep the virus under control?
Sure. The viruses are exhaled from pigs in the form of air droplets, which contain moisture, dust, the virus, mucus, all sorts of things from the respiratory tract. So these are big globs, actually, that float through the air. And the filter blocks those droplets from making its way through the matrix, be it a fiberglass matrix or a polypropylene matrix, and just prevents that that glob from entering the farm.
That's a nice way of putting it. That glob, yeah. It's a very small glob.
Right.
Now, this is a long-term project. Your research, tell us about the project, how long it's been going on, how much longer it has to go.
We've been doing a 3-year study at our research site, which is a model of a pork production region, trying to simulate what you might see in North Carolina or southern Minnesota or northwest Iowa, where there's a lot of farmers right next to each other. And we've seen the virus move over shorter distances by the air. We've determined it can go up to the 3-mile point using the same model. And now we're taking the air filtration technology that we've tested at that site in a research setting, and we're putting it into large sow farms in swine-dense regions, primarily in southern Minnesota and northern Iowa. That study has got a 4-year time span. So we've actually about in the middle of everything right now. And we're just looking at the sustainability of the technology over time. Will it work in a big farm? Will it work over time in a big farm? And will it pay a big farm to put it in?
Well, that was a question that came up after your presentation, is the cost. And there was kind of a collective gasp when you mentioned how much it would cost. How can, is there a possibility of making these costs go down or make it actually the ROI be good enough to invest that much?
So far we've seen even with the most expensive systems, they paid for themselves in 1 year. And we're continually learning that depending on the ventilation system of the building and the type of filter that we use, we can cut that cost in half. So as we test new products, we'll find cheaper ways to get the same thing done. So some of the numbers I quoted today are probably worst-case scenarios because we want to start at the highest level of security, and now we'll tighter that down a bit and see if we can get by with less money but with the same level of protection. We're making big progress there.
Is this the air filtration system and the things that you've been testing, is there any actual, you said you're getting out in the field, but are there any actual working farms out there that are using this system currently?
Yes, there are. There's lots of boar studs that have put it in now, but now we're putting it into big sow farms, and we've got a data set of sow farms that are filtered and a data set that are unfiltered, and they're basically the same except for that one variable, and we're watching that over time. And so, yes, indeed, led by a lot of really good practitioners, Southern Minnesota, the Pipestone System, Swine Vet Center, and Fairmont Veterinary Clinic, which are all in southern Minnesota, they're advancing this technology into the large sow farm in swine-dense regions. So they're the real pioneers that deserve a lot of credit.
Well, again, let's stress to the producers and those who are working on this disease nationwide how and why you're so optimistic about the potential for controlling this disease or possibly eradicating it in the future.
I've just never seen anything work like this before where we can actually protect a farm from the neighbor virus. And no matter what we tried in the past, it's never succeeded over time. And if you start with a non-infected pig, it's so much easier to manage that pig. If you want to vaccinate it, or if you want to just put it into a negative building and let it grow and do the things it likes to do when it's not carrying the burden of the virus around, it's a whole new world.
Right. Thank you very much, Dr. Scott D. here at the Boehringer Ingelheim Swine Health Seminar in North Carolina. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.